because of that.
John, you all right, buddy?
Doing fine.
All right. Need some coffee? Yeah, maybe. And I think we need what our comments are, so they can say.
Some of our comments, like, I don't know, the three of us.
Yeah.
Phrasing.
Agreed.
No, by the way.
You're smart people. Why?
You're up, big boy.
Well.
You're ready.
Actually.
Old Janelle's holding us up.
Actually, no, I think it's.
I think it's staff.
Staff to discuss the future land use chapter.
We're cutting right first.
Do we have that version?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And it's in front of them?
It's in their book.
Where are you?
The future land use chapter in the new book.
And these are your edits of this chapter?
Well, these are some items that we wanted to discuss with council.
Oh, nice.
Future land use. Okay.
So kind of in tune with what we did, what we just discussed with DelDOT, staff got future land use. We've highlighted the sections, and we want to verbalize some of our thoughts to you all. And the intent today is, if they're simple, easy. These aren't edits, you know, a comma here, a comma there. These are philosophical or making sure you realize what's in there kind of directions. And if they're simple, it could be move on. If it's detailed and you need to go home and digest it, we're prepared to have that wrap up at the last meeting or next meeting, which could be the last meeting. So and staff is Janelle, Vince, and myself, and all three of our comments are incorporated in this document. You want to?
Sure, well, all of us can chime in. So I guess the first one was the future land use vision. Well, actually, throughout the future land use
element. Blow that up more, Janelle. Just highlight the yellow.
Throughout the whole element, there's talk about incentives. You'll see that word show up a lot. And I think sort of the group felt like, does everything have to be combined with an incentive? In other words, are there things that just should be required and some things that should be incentivized? Here it was cast with a pretty broad brush of everything should be incentivized. So that was sort of a back to Todd's use of a word, a philosophical question for council. And it shows up right at the jump with the future land use.
So what is the suggestion from staff?
We don't have a suggestion. That's a council philosophy, you know, I would say. I mean, I'll put it this way. We had a concern that it appeared that everything was incentivized.
Seemed like it.
Yeah, versus just if there's things that are important, why aren't we just saying you have to do it? You know, why does everything have to correspond to an incentive?
Because if it costs a dime, they won't do it. Sidewalks. You saw so many times where we didn't get sidewalks, just little things like that, if they didn't have to do it. We felt that sidewalks were.
So I guess in that scenario, the question is, should you just tell people they have to have sidewalks, or you should say, well, you can have sidewalks if you get an additional unit of density. You know, that's the incentive versus just telling somebody you got to do it. You know, that's the question. I'm just using one example.
And reviewing this chapter as a whole, there is probably 10 term incentive throughout, which really, in our mind, made it seem as though Vince is saying, there instead of just saying, this is what we want, it was, here's the carrot to get you to buy into what we want.
And so the example here would be to change that. Right now it says future land use vision to provide for balanced and well-planned future growth and development that supports the county's economic development goals while providing incentives to preserve. Why couldn't it just say, while preserving the rural character of the county?
Yeah, that's what it should.
Yeah, I like that.
100%.
Okay. That was a long explanation for a quick head nod.
But it's a philosophical direction.
Yeah.
That's the attorney talking.
Writing at the beginning.
You
are going to extrapolate that through the incentive language, or we're going to highlight each one of them?
Some of them, I think.
We didn't feel like this was a staff level decision.
Yeah.
We wanted to highlight it to make sure.
The next thing's on page 5?
Page 5,
that's
bottom
the same,
of page 5.
That's the just a restatement of that vision again.
So we got the head nod.
Mr. Benson, can I ask you a question?
Sure,
Sam. Yeah.
Was there a public hearing before all this came up?
Public hearing?
Was it
Was it advertised as a public hearing?
Was what?
For today.
For today?
Yeah.
The workshop.
Didn't they have one before we got here?
We've had all kinds of workshops. We had a public hearing in planning and zoning.
I understand that, but how come we're overlapping all what there's, what the input came from the public, what they said they'd like to see done?
What are you talking about?
How come you keep overriding that?
What are you talking about?
Sure. We're riding their opinion, I believe, aren't we?
This is a draft.
This is a draft.
That's why I call it draft. Okay.
No, it is a draft.
It is a draft.
We're not calling it.
Well, it doesn't say draft.
That's what it says, draft.
Every page says draft.
I'm sorry.
And there will be another public hearing.
It was too big, I couldn't see it.
And Mr. Wilson, before we adopt anything, the final thing, there'll be another public hearing.
It's about November, Sam.
There'll be another public hearing. We get all in to come back more time.
Will we pay attention to them?
Well, I guess, I don't know if you will or not.
Speaking of paying attention.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I think if the public wants to put input, let's use them come. If they don't put input, we don't pay attention to what they're saying.
You got it.
We just want to tell them, say, oh, we're not interested. We ain't going to send no money out.
All right, what do we got up here?
We're not spending money from show up. Don't bother show up, but we're not interested in what you got to say. Is that what we'd say? Okay, Mr. Burton.
All right, please.
So the next
page
one,
nine,
page, nine.
Page nine was the next change was that's just a change in the terminology. It did say, I think, mixed residential areas, and on the current future land use map, Janelle, you can actually explain this better than me. We had to have a designation for the existing like GR zones that were stuck kind of all over the place in low density areas, and that's what this covers.
It also includes some B1 and C1 throughout the county, because when McCormick Taylor did the suitability analysis, a lot of the property that zoned GR, MR, C1, B1 ended up in the low density, and I had a feeling that the council does not want to end up rezoning all of those properties to something. So we needed to come up with a land use designation that matches the current zoning. So we've changed that name. We had a placeholder as mixed residential areas, which was an old land use classification we had. So we've just changed this to mixed development areas because it recognizes the existing GR, MR that are kind of surrounded by low density areas.
The technical requirement of the plan.
Gotcha. So.
But we're going to designate that the existing pre-zone MRGR etc. right as
correct.
As
this
existing development areas.
So it was done in the old plan.
Yeah.
So
this is only those areas that would otherwise be in the low density area. We're not talking about the growth areas or the formal environmentally sensitive development area. These are the sort of pockets that show up out in the middle of, I don't want to say nowhere, but unrelated to anything else.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But they have normally it's a GR designation.
The zoning.
The zoning is GR.
Already.
So if you.
Mount Joy community has a GR zoning along Mount Joy Road. That's in a very low density area surrounding, but in 1970, whenever, it got designated GR.
Right. I like that because a lot of times, you know, the sins of the father, the sins of the son type thing, and you say, well, this is already got GR zoning right next to it, therefore I'm entitled to have GR zoning here.
Right, and there's actually, so if you look at your future land use map, the 11x17 is in your pocket, you can kind of see the areas kind of dotted throughout, and they're really surrounded by the low density. And there's language in the chapter that says, we don't intend for these areas to grow. We're just recognizing the existing as they want to originally develop. They came in as this, and there's no anticipated growth because they are surrounded by the low density.
And back when they did that in the early 70s, there weren't the issues with septic systems.
Right, right.
They didn't care
where
you were.
These are kind of all your mistakes from 30 years.
I wasn't here. So.
Yeah. 32 years ago you were.
Oh, easy, boy. Easy. Well,
you're lucky this dead weight here is in between us. Cause I'd have been right
so the next one under rural areas, we highlighted protected lands. That shows just sort of a reorganization of, because it listed protected lands, and then it also listed agricultural preservation districts, and we just sort of included them all under protected lands just for.
Those would be permanent ag.
That's 44,000 acres, not 70-some.
It's both, yeah.
It's 44
And permanent?
For that, because those are both in the rural areas.
So anything protected can be the 10-year program or the permanent easement.
Even the 10 years protected.
Because it is protected for 10 years. And
are
then,
these colors? Is that what we're saying? We're going to...
I think pull out
on the map they are. Yeah. This is just...
Just a distinguishing in the chapter.
But 10 years, they can pull out any day they want. They don't have to... Yeah. They can go in, they can come right out. They don't...
And only after 10 years they can, but
okay,
not
okay, when they put in for 10, they're stuck for 10?
Yes. Correct.
That they can't do what? Sell it for sub...
They put a temporary easement... There's a temporary easement on that piece of property related
to
development
rights.
Not to be sold for development. Correct.
And okay. It will be used as agricultural land.
So at least for 10 years it is protected.
But and our map will always have two different colors, 10 and permanent.
Correct.
Okay. And it does.
Yeah.
Those are the two different greens on
the
map.
But the permanent is only 40-some thousand, but total, I think, is 70-some thousand.
Something like that.
Something like that.
The next one, we added or suggested adding a sentence because the coastal area and the growth areas, the coastal area is part of a growth area, but we wanted you all to consider a sentence that just had a little bit more clarification. It's, you know, obviously what's up there. While coastal areas are considered growth areas, the county encourages only appropriate forms of concentrated new development in these areas, especially when environmental features are in play. That just sort of mirrors what our environmentally sensitive developing district has now, because there's some additional standards that apply to what's going to be the new coastal area. So
I don't know. I still don't understand it. But while the coastal,
well, we tried to at least make it sound like it wasn't just a growth area. End of statement. You know.
So the growth. What area gets the increased environmental features?
The coastal area will. That's going to be what was the environmentally sensitive developing district.
The bright yellow on the map.
And the standards for that are?
We're going to get to them because they are also highlighted in yellow for discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
So
yellow is the new purple, so you're adding that.
Yeah. Or commenting on it or highlighting it for your consideration.
It's a lot of yellow.
We talked earlier about coastal. We were looking at changing the definition just because of the folks on the west, the areas that are along waterways on the west, but we kind of decided to kind of keep it generic because the west did include quote unquote coast, right?
Yeah.
But I see no yellow over there on the western part of the county around, you know what I mean, around the Nanticoke and just other waterways that are along those coasts, not just the ocean.
That was an original discussion, but once the suitability analysis was done, it determined that most of the coastal areas fell on the east side, and then the ones that were in yellow on the west side were incorporated into town center and developing areas because they actually were closer to those town centers and developing areas, closer to the towns. So they were incorporated into other land use classifications instead of having coastal areas both on the east and the west.
Because, Mayor, the coastal area is a growth area, so it was partly right that we didn't want to establish, or that the suitability study did not establish growth areas in those places, so therefore a coastal area wasn't a growth.
Maybe we should. I mean, that's, you know, I think the West would love to see some growth.
Yeah.
Well, and again, everything
but along the coast, like so much of it was preserved along the Nanticoke already. It just made it tough to do.
So
the growth area there.
And again, when the growth areas for the coastal area were originally done with the suitability analysis, we had the discussion of like, well, we'll just call everything on the east coastal, and then we'll incorporate the ones that were on the west into developing area and town center. So they actually, we just incorporated them to a different land use classification.
But you don't get the increased environmental standards.
But you also don't get the potential increased density, too. I mean, I don't know, maybe you want that, but...
And again, there was also discussion that some of the environmental standards that are being considered as part of this plan would be countywide. Certain things would definitely be in the coastal areas, but others would also be county, could potentially be countywide.
Now, is the yellow a developing area or a growth area?
It is a growth area.
And so developing areas are something different?
Developing areas, so we have three different types of growth areas. Well, we have four. We have the municipalities, we have the town center, the developing areas, and the coastal areas are all growth land use classifications in the county.
which is more or less the way it's always been.
Correct.
What are the last two? I understand the town and the...
The developing area, which is typically outside of the town, but still maybe we're seeing growth and pressure there. Or in certain areas, it's not the... The town center really is the annexation areas of the towns. Primarily, that's what that is. Some towns don't have a large annexation area, but they're also seeing development pressure, so we recognize that as a developing area. There's still pressure and development occurring in those areas, so they have the developing area, or they're just outside of the town center. Again, areas we see development trying to occur or, you know, should encourage to occur in those areas.
And then if it's not either one of those and it's along the coast, then it's a coastal area.
Correct.
Well, I don't know, just when I look at that, all that yellow in the coastal area, I think that was a big mistake years ago, and it'd be nice to do something today.
That was a big mistake.
But actually, it was pulled back.
Yeah, it was pulled back quite a bit.
It was pulled back, but I'm just still...
And the suitability analysis showed that as that mid-tier, I guess. And we recognize the importance of including those environmental considerations in those areas. Yeah.
So all of that yellow that's on the east has the increased environmental standards that we're soon going to talk about.
That's what the coastal area land use classification would would include.
We haven't seen that. They're not spelled out yet, these.
That's coming up.
Yeah. Right, that's coming up, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see how.
Well, I mean, we still have some of it in our code now for the environmentally sensitive developing area. That's going to convert in large part to
yes,
this,
Yes, the ESDDOZ overlay would now impact anything in yellow.
Well, it's great, but it really didn't do much.
So
it did
squat, but I'm just saying.
What page is that?
That's
we're looking,
page.
I'm looking for this next.
14.
I'm just looking for this next go-around. If we change the name, what are we going to do to really protect some here?
And that's where you're going to have to let staff know what your priorities are when we start implementing this plan.
Yeah, once you get on the backside of the plan adoption.
Because that's all implementation.
So the next one here, this one starts with... in developing areas, because this is actually a portion of that. One of the concerns that we had was that the densities were all 2 units an acre in each one of these areas. It ended up that there wasn't any distinction between, you know, town centers almost to developing areas to coastal areas to low density areas. What was the point, you know? And so that's...
The AR1, that's what 80% of the county is.
Well, but it's also the developing area, you know, and if you're saying, all right, this is where infrastructure is, and this is where we want, you know, Josh to do his roadway improvements and everything else, should there be a nexus with the density to support that? You know, or why have developing areas at all if it's all 2 units?
Wait, you're assuming it takes more than 2 units to the acre to support density?
What I'm saying is we need to know... from council, from all 5 members of council, what you want to do with densities in these different areas, because right now they're all the same.
In rural areas, 2 units to the acre is deemed to be fairly high density. So, I mean, we're awfully generous.
Right,
what do the other 4 members of council want to do?
I understand.
That's resource oriented.
And the way it also reads is the only way you can upzone is if you do a density bonus. Which there's some concern over that is you automatically get 2 units to an acre unless you upzone and you're doing a density bonus, which there might be some legal issues with that as well. So, you know, in the developing areas, which is right outside either the towns or just slightly beyond the towns, 2 units to an acre is the base zoning, but do you want it to be able to go up to different zoning classifications?
Yeah.
And again, it would not be everywhere. It would be in certain areas where maybe it makes sense, because in certain areas, maybe 2 units is appropriate.
So where are the certain areas?
That is, I think in one of them, it recognizes that along, like in the commercial areas, larger developments should be located on major arterial roads and near major intersections. So is that something you would want to do with, low density or 2 units to an acre is okay, but in certain areas, should we allow 4? And in certain areas, should we allow 12? And should those be geared towards certain areas where there is infrastructure, commercial areas, and, you know, intersections? You know, where there's already some of that base sewer, water, roads, commercial uses that people can go to. That we were talking about when we were talking about community design that people could then maybe walk to instead of getting out of their cars.
what you need to see where the areas you're talking about are going to be?
Well, if you take...
Are you saying it's just on this map and that's it?
Well...
I mean, so for example, yeah, that's part of it. The developing area, if you look at that, it's right outside the towns. You know, you're basically saying this is centered on a radius from the center of town. These are developing areas. Is it appropriate to have your base density at 2 units an acre when you're right next to a municipal boundary? You know, and the town's probably at, what, 5,000 square foot lots, you know, at, what, 12 units an acre or 10 or something like
eight.
That? Eight,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so we have a lot of...
It was eight.
If you take a look at your map, and the 11 by 17 is the larger one that was in the front pocket, you'll notice it's the tan color, the tan or the peach color. That's the developing area. It's in between Bridgeville and Seaford. It surrounds a good chunk of Georgetown. It is around parts of Milton, parts of Milford, parts of Selbyville. Does 2 units an acre make sense in those
yes.
areas?
Yes, it does.
For all of the development?
Your opinion.
Because that's where we're saying, that's where we want growth to go, because we recognize there's sewer or there's infrastructure, there's natural gas, there's electric.
We transportation.
There's public transportation. Should we consider something other than 2 units to an acre without having to do some type of density bonus or incentivize to upzone? So should we allow for, in certain areas, not all areas, allow up to maybe 12 units to an acre, which would be HR in certain areas in the developing area?
But they would have to come in and ask for that zoning.
They would have to ask for that zoning, and if we put some caveats in going, this does not make sense in all areas, this makes sense where maybe there is access to public transit, there is access to open space, there is access to commercial, you know, that could be something that this body needs to consider.
I'm going to pick on the western side. Seaford, Bridgeville, you certainly, in my mind, can make the argument. Why would we want to keep it at 2 units to the acre when the next door to the town is probably 8 or 9 or 10 units to the acre?
Correct. And that's also something you need to consider because, okay.
Because the whole thing is developing area. And
but it goes out pretty far than just beyond the borders. You normally, in the old days, when Seaford would grow, the lands, yes, adjacent to the city would grow because the town could extend the infrastructure, extend it, and it grew out that way. But you've gone out here pretty far. And
how much that's in? How much that's in them? Do we know where the ones that are city of Seaford's
dark brown?
Dark brown.
The dark brown
not
is
not
the
where the city is.
Their annexation.
So
I believe the majority of the developing in the areas, and definitely the town centers, are the annexation areas.
The town centers are the annexation areas.
And I think there might, some of the developing areas, especially around Seaford, is probably their annexation areas. Because I think just based on the suitability analysis, it came down a little bit.
Yes. And then you're going to see the developing area location, the land use. We're trying to differentiate what that would look like versus what the low density areas would be right outside of that. Right now, the way the language is written, you're going to see the same kind of development happen in the developing areas as you would in the low density.
Right.
And we're asking if that's appropriate.
You're saying the different color. You're saying the same thing is going to happen in the light brown as the white.
Yes.
Correct.
Right now,
the way this language is written, by permitting that 2 units per acre, is the same as it would be for low density. So you're going to see the same kind of development occur in your developing areas as you would anywhere else in the county.
And it goes to the same for the coastal areas. They all read the exact same way.
So we're thinking we need to really identify what we mean for each classification. What does a developing area mean to you, and what would it look like? And how is that different from your low density? And how is that different from your town center? And the way the language is currently written, it's all very similar. And so it doesn't really provide the variety in the county that you might want to have in terms of how development would occur.
Could you say that same sentence and use colors?
All right. In your coastal areas, your developing areas,
give me a town and a color.
So
the
Seaford,
yellow,
if you're
still, the
now go to
the
yellow.
Peach and the white. So the yellow, the peach tan,
and
the white all right now develop the exact same way.
Yeah.
The yellow.
There's
the
peach and the white all develop the exact same way. There's no difference in density. And
today.
As this is written right now. Right now, there's no difference in the land use and the density. They all are all 2 units to an acre.
And what's wrong with that?
Wait, stop. Look at the colors.
No, I'm just saying, wait, what's wrong with it?
Because that's what we've done in the past, and that's just what's always been done.
Let me just say this. If we want to encourage towns to grow, the trouble with what happened with Rehoboth is the county allowed a greater density outside the city limits of Rehoboth and Lewis than the towns did. So the developers didn't need to annex. The towns just got stifled. There's no more chance of growing because there's no reason to go to the cities. So if you surround Seaford with 4 units to the acre, they're going to come to the county. There's no reason for those people to annex into the cities. So these cities' tax bases will not grow. They've got the infrastructure over there, and that's how they would grow their cities and grow their tax base. But when we provide a greater density around them, they don't need it.
Well, 4 units an acre is not greater than what City Seaford allows, I can guarantee you. 4 units an acre is nowhere near what Seaford allows.
You want to incentivize it by this.
So they ain't going to come to us and get 4, then the city can do 12.
Okay, but if it's 2, they will want to annex into the city. You will encourage annexation of these cities and be able to have the option.
But it hasn't happened.
Do
we have the historical proof?
No, wait, that's just because the market is that right now Seaford and Laurel and all of them over there haven't been growing like the coastal area.
But like, I don't know, that's because Lewis, with them, we hear it at planning zoning all the time and it bears itself out. That had nothing to do with density. That had to do with it took forever to get anything approved by the city of Lewis because they'd send it to the subcommittee, and then they would just eventually come to the county just to get something done, and Rehoboth just didn't want to annex because they were bounded by the canal and all. So, the bigger concern is, I'll just put it this way, if the whole county's the same, why are we bothering with all these different areas? I mean, why even do it? We just have anybody do a scattershot approach to
Let me just say that, and I'll shut up here a while, because we're sitting here worrying about all this future development. I'm just going to tell you all something. You ought to start worrying about the people who live here, work here, and raise their families and everything else.
So we need.
We have forgotten them. All we're doing is worrying about this future guy who I don't give a crap about. If they don't come here, God bless them, they can go somewhere else.
George, that's why we need more affordable housing, workforce housing, which is not something you've been agreeable to.
I'm just saying, from my point of view, I think this emphasis, this land use plan ought to be for the people who call Sussex County their home, live here, work here, raise their families. All we're worried about is this future retiree or somebody who's coming in here and doing all this. So we're changing all this and making a great plan.
The flip side to that is that if we keep everything at 2 units an acre, the people like all of us who live here now are going to suffer from that because we saw from the population studies that people are coming here. Regardless,
Settle
him down, Sam.
Somebody get a picture of this.
You want to shake your hand? Thank you. Okay. Good God.
But so everything just continues to develop at 2 units an acre because people are coming here. We saw that from both population studies.
No matter what we do here.
Then we ought to leave it, and as they come, let the marketplace, let them come in front and ask to get up zone because here's the reasons why. I want to know about, we don't even know if the roads will. We'll be approving 4 units to the acre, by making a color now, and the roads, there's no shoulders, the intersections are terrible.
But the problem is if you have 2 units an acre that goes on forever,
can't upzone.
You can't, there's no way that Delta can keep up with that. There's no way that, there's the number of people that would support that for,
The free market demands affordable housing and more housing types, and we're not doing it. That's the market.
All right.
And to that point. There you go. and our decisions have been typically based on the vacationers and folks that are coming here, and we're not paying a focus, in my opinion anyways, to the local families because the continuation gap between what's the average housing price versus what the wages are and what they can afford, George. That's a fact. We've heard it for months. We've heard it and heard it and heard it, but yet we're not making the decisions here to reflect that. So on a separate topic, I will pose a question, and I know we've had a conversation here. This map is being proposed of what we could have looked like in 45, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
So
it's not, actually, I'll walk that back a little bit.
I was quick.
you're planning for what the, your 2045 could look like and trying to direct growth in certain areas and preserve others.
Yep. So to that point, so I'm gonna bring this up because I don't think we've had this conversation. As we go down this pathway and come up with this thought process, how will this, and we need to think about this in the future decision-making, that is, how do we think about our ag land preservation, right? We have resources and dollars, right, that we can buy development rights, right? And states doing it, and we at the county level can do it. So with that being said, if there's a parcel that somebody wants, a farmer who wants to sell off their rights and ask us to do so, how does that play out in this map? If they're in the yellow and we're encouraging the growth there, but yet they want to preserve their farm, is that something that we would not consider?
No. So in all of the zoning, in the land use classifications, AR1 is going to be a permitted zoning classification, because there might be areas, even in a town center, that it's on the edge of the town center that low density makes sense. There might be areas on the edge of the yellow. It's close to maybe, because there's a couple of spots that are near green that are ag preservation. That would be something that the council would consider, is like, okay, you're adjacent to the low density, you're still in a growth area, but then there's also ag preservation land. Is that a place where GR, MR, or HR are appropriate, or is that where AR is appropriate? And in that instance, that might be where that AR is appropriate, and that farm can still develop at 2 units to an acre if they decide to sell and develop that land. But what it does is give options. Instead of having everything 2 units to an acre, it gives us options to have different housing types, different locations. You know, it stops, it could help the two units. It'll help preserve some of the land, which we've also heard from the public going, the character of the area is changing. How do we protect the character of the area? And that can be through density, not everywhere, but in certain locations where it makes sense, near that commercial area. Like we were talking, John was talking about earlier, about if we're going to have RPCs near each other, maybe they should be near a commercial. And our RPCs are usually a little bit higher density, and they're surrounded by a commercial. So does that make sense in the yellow area, or does that make sense in the white area, which we have determined is low density? And do we want to have those options in the yellow and in the peach colors?
It's all about infrastructure. Your densities ought to be where the infrastructure is.
What does the rest of council think that the base density for the developing area should be?
Wait. I think that the overall assumption that Janelle, you're making in that argument is that if you have the increased zoning, that the white, if you have the peach zoning that has an increased allowable density, that you are going to somehow, that increased density is somehow going to stop the sprawl from occurring in the white.
No, it will not occur. It will not prohibit development occurring in the low density at 2 units an acre. People can still do that, but it gives us options.
No, his question is different. Would that eliminate sprawl? In other words, if you take,
I mean, that's the assumption that I'm fighting with, right? Is that if I own a piece of property that has 100 acres on it, and I get 4 units to the acre, and Sam has a piece of property right next to me, is he going to not develop his because I got 4 on mine?
No, but it could help.
Okay.
It's not going to stop anybody. It's not going to stop the sprawl, but it can help. It can help from going, okay, two units, or we've got 4 units, 2 units, 2 units, and then we've still got the same units on a less land, which is putting people. So instead of having to drive 2 miles to get to Route 1, I only have to drive 1.5 miles to get Route 1, which is helping the traffic.
The flip side of that is if everything's 2, you're guaranteeing that everything's going to just go 2, 2, 2, 2, 2.
Right.
2.
Correct.
Right. But is it a proven theory that by doing something like this, that sprawl is then decreased, even if it's one unit to the acre? I mean, is that a real concept that's worked over time?
So I guess a way you can look at it is you're building the number of dwelling units to accommodate the projected future population numbers. If those dwelling units are concentrated more in some areas and less in others, then you're directing that growth to those areas. So it's not necessarily saying that you're not going to have sprawl, but you're going to have more of the focus kind of development that you would want in the areas that have been designated for those higher densities.
Because the, I mean, I agree that there are places that density should occur. Just because it does make sense to me, just in my mind, it would be great that it was scientifically proven. But you know, you're around the hospital, and you put the houses there for the workforce and the economic. That all makes sense to me. I don't want to take it from Milford, which is what George is saying. So is there math that says, you know, if Seaford's 8 or 12, whatever it is, and we're 4, does that do both? Does that say I'd rather be in the city where I'd rather develop in the city where I can develop 8? I'm okay with the land that I bought at 4.
If you're assuming you're going to build the same number of dwelling units for the year 2045, that number is a fixed number, and some areas allow for higher density, that means that spread over the county, you're going to have less impact on that low density area.
Maybe.
Well, you're going to use less land.
Yeah.
You end up with, IG, you end up with sprawl. We're going to get sprawl.
We have it already.
With all this development, we've been planning for 40 years, and look what we got. So I don't have a lot of faith in planning.
We've had
what are you talking about?
We haven't been planning.
We got a land use plan right now. Anyway, we're going to get sprawl. So what is, again, in the best interest of the people who live and work and do all that here, high-density sprawl or low-density sprawl? I'll take the low-density sprawl because it'll be less traffic. It'll be less people.
No.
Okay, you can listen to the plan. Okay, that's okay. I'm just, in reality.
But if you have low-density sprawl or high-density sprawl, right, and it's the same number, don't you have the same number?
Yeah. Well, possibly, but as the years go by, you allow 4 units to the acre here, right? No, you'll get a higher density. I mean, you'll get more population. It'll grow. They fill in. You think all the people that live in the yellow here and all those communities, those second homers and all those people who retired here, if there wasn't something available here that they liked, that do you think they would have not bought something? No, they would have gone and looked somewhere else.
But what if you take the yellow out and you're existing in peach and pink?
Hmm?
If you take the yellow out.
I don't like wholesale zoning going. We got in trouble with Route 1. We created, you know, this commercial district. We created these spotty GRs years ago, and they've come back to haunt us. I would rather allow the marketplace to dictate, leave it 2 units the acre. And as neighborhoods change, as areas change,
what about the peach? The peach being the area for the higher density, right?
And I wouldn't.
He doesn't want any peach.
I wouldn't go in. Yeah, I wouldn't put any peach in. I would allow the towns and developers to purchase Sam's farm next to Georgetown because there's infrastructure close by or can get there. But to create this peach area over here, they're going to hopscotch over to get cheaper land and other stuff. I don't know.
No, the peach is connected to the brown.
Yeah, but it goes pretty. I mean, it's not immediately adjacent. It takes in quite a bit of area. Area between Bridgeville and Seaford, west of 13.
And what
not
it
much
says
development there today, is there? There's nothing there, right? So if I understand, John, between the Brown and Seaford and the Brown and Bridgeville, west of 13, we would, under this scenario, zone it 4 units to the acre.
No.
No.
No, it would be you'd be saying the appropriate densities are 2 to 6 or 2 to 8 or whatever the number is.
In certain areas, not the entire thing, 4 might make sense.
I don't know what those certain 12 areas are.
But Mr. Cole, how do you know then where, if you're saying that there's none of this, how do you know that the guy outside of Georgetown, I mean, it's the same thing. You're saying, how do I know in the certain areas of the yellow? Well, how do you know if there's a guy in the white that you're saying, well, he's appropriate for 8 units an acre? You know less in that scenario than
you do. It's all about infrastructure. I mean, the water, sewer, and the roads.
But how do you plan for infrastructure without having locations like this designated where we want growth to go?
Well, the county basically responds with a sewer. But in the roads, we don't really have many plans for any new roads or anything in doing any of this stuff. So, I don't know.
We had no say about it.
I just keep saying, don't forget the guy who calls Sussex County his home, and forget about these future residents.
We have forgotten about them.
We have no control over sewer.
This could also help impact some of the people that live here now.
Okay, all I can just say is we've planned for years. This is what we got. Other communities have planned for years. And somehow these plans, we follow smart growth for a while, then it's some other, you know, cute term. And a lot of it sounds good, but it's not really practical.
So I'm
a little...
We want the cluster, don't we, George?
I'm a little jaded to all this stuff.
So, I'm sorry, Mike. Just, so, for real quick, 2045, projected population is what?
139,000 new residents.
139.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't write down those numbers.
Yeah.
So let's use the math of 20,000 residents, new residents. Okay, it could take 5 years to do that. Could 3 years, whatever. Let's just use a number of 20,000 people. They're coming, right? So with 2 units to the acre by right, okay, 20,000 units, correct? 20,000, excuse me. We'll just say units.
That
equates to 10,000 acres. So you keep doing what you are suggesting. 2 units to the acre, that's 10,000 acres being absorbed to accommodate the 20,000 units, right? So if we had some levels of housing types, some levels of increased density in certain areas, hold on.
I'm not saying not the rezone problem.
Hold on. So if we were just to consider 6 units to the acre in that analogy of 20,000 units, do the math. Instead of using 10,000 acres, you're going to use 3,333 acres. A third of the land mass by increasing that density. And you can focus the infrastructure in those areas, plan accordingly, right? So less expensive for the county, less expensive for the taxpayers because it's focused, less expensive for DelDOT, right? Because they can focus their energies on less areas. And it's kind of a win-win. We don't want to be Ocean City, but I think there's areas of opportunity to have increased density.
Ocean City's got right? increased density, and Delaware.
But we don't want to be like Ocean City.
No, we don't.
Right.
Exactly.
That's my point. So increased density saves land.
It didn't save Ocean City.
But we're not Ocean City, George.
It saves Jersey Coast, but that's it.
But am I wrong on that? I mean, in that analogy?
So I guess the question that we have is right now, the three growth areas that are not municipalities, there's only 3 of them. They all have that 2 units to an acre. Do we want to allow for 2 and more for what would be the town center, and then what would be the developing area, what would be the coastal? We provide a range to help clarify what each land use classification could be. So, as Janelle suggested, maybe 1 could be like 2 to 6 units or 2 to 8. And then within that color, you would then say, well, this spot would be the 2 and this spot would be the 6 and that would be the 4. And you can use your judgment along the way to determine what would be appropriate where.
West of 113, if you want it over there, so darn bad.
But that's not that's not the free market, George.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's not what that. But that's not.
No, I'm just saying, we want to encourage it over there because if the most environmentally sensitive area. This will, you know, again, encourage.
We can have increased density with safeguard our environment. Can we not?
Density could actually help save the environment
because if
you're gonna have 1 parcel, and you've got a lot of environmentally sensitive, and you put more units into an area, it could end up preserving more of that open space. Depending on how we look at ordinances and codes, that then could impact. Creating more open space and preserving more wetlands and more woodlands or, you know, other things.
But without those ordinances and codes, you haven't done anything. And if you write this plan this way, which I'll change some things in here, but if you launch that or something that does the density and you don't fund the ordinance right behind it or simultaneously or ahead of it, but not behind it, then you haven't done anything.
Correct, which is why then you need to prioritize what are the important ordinances or changes that we need to do. Because if we're going to make a change, we need to make sure that we are implementing this vision.
I would go to a more radical step and say that to adopt the plan that we all agree on, but it doesn't come into effect until the ordinance is written.
I'm going to look at Vince to see if we can do that, because I don't believe we can.
Well, man, I think the governor signs off, they take crazy.
And again,
why do it if it's going to be long time getting it?
Or never.
And again, I think that's all the priorities from the council going, okay, if we're going to make these changes, what are the priorities that then staff and council need to work on first, second, and third to make sure we're starting to implement this vision? But the first thing is, does it make sense to recognize 2, 4, 6, up to maybe 12 units to an acre, not in every place, but in certain areas within the yellow and the peach, to which would also allow a multiple of different housing types. Does that make sense? And we could work on the wording to go, not everywhere does the 12 units make sense. The 12 unit makes sense if you have access to transit or commercial or, you know, multimodal paths or not just one of those, multiple ones of those, or you're near a major intersection so you don't have to travel so far.
We live in, this was phenomenal. We live in gridlock in the coastal area most of the year. Even today on Route 26, it's bumper to bumper going into town every morning, every night, every day. And then it would start to come up with this and come and designate something now. You're saying designate areas now that we think that we're going to micromanage this thing, that we think there should be, like mass transportation. Nobody uses that crap in Sussex County.
That's right.
They're all empty. The buses are. The parking lots are. Maybe 50 years from now. But again, I think a lot of these concepts are just sound good. But you just can't keep encouraging more, putting more in a box. This box is full. And the beaches are full, the parking's full, the sidewalks are full, the boardwalk's full. You think it's the magic number is put more people, it's going to save some. It hasn't saved anything yet. Because we've seen once you create a nice big subdivision like Americana Bayside, there was nothing there. Nothing. And then now look at it.
It's beautiful.
It looks
people
like
love it.
Did you vote for that?
No, sir.
People love it, George.
People love it.
That's they do.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I think
what he gobbled up is every farm around it. So we want to talk about sprawl. We lost a lot more at at higher densities and stuff.
No.
So can we take a look and look at maybe different densities in the coastal areas and the developing areas and recognizing some different housing
somebody
types?
Somebody shows me something that they're going to do something to protect that yellow.
Is there agreement from some members of council for us to look at that?
I would have to see what the environmental safeguards are that will follow to protect the area while increasing density.
And right now you have in strategies, especially in the conservation, you have different strategies to look at different things. Buffers, separation, increasing separation distances between subdivisions, looking at a variety of different things.
Vince, is it illegal to put the
you're going to jail, IG.
but I mean, there's no sense in having the concept and not the enforcement.
Yeah, you're worried about people beating the ordinance, I guess.
and agreeing on
public hearings and
what's that?
Agreeing on it and getting it passed. I mean, if it's going to be, these ordinances that are in the conservation deal, we got six or seven or eight of them, and then there's six or seven, eight densities, and there's all of a sudden, if the path that we're on, it's years.
So right now, the current ESDA allows you to go up to 12 in certain areas.
It hasn't happened.
Right, because council has not allowed a 12-unit development to come through.
Very few have asked for it. Most of the developers
have realized
that, you know, eight and six and stuff, you're just seeing the marketplaces respond, and also stormwater parking, other things have factored into it. So could be wetlands, could be soil, all kinds of things. But if they would have done it if they could, no doubt about it. But I think they toned it down because they knew they wouldn't get through possibly or something. But again, I don't remember turning down a 12 unit to the acre subdivision because we haven't had any requests.
You've turned down lesser ones though, or planning.
Yes, or you? Oh, yes, because there were a couple that came in that were close.
I'm just saying. They're gun shy.
And currently, in the developing areas, allows for some of that. And again, we also have to recognize that there is current HR zoning in these land use classifications that we need to recognize. Because we cannot say you can't go up to 12 when you have properties that are zoned HR. They might be developed at less than that, but they are zoned HR. So we also need to make sure we take a look at that as well.
I can't, my mind is, I can't think that density doesn't have a place on this map. Increased density doesn't have a place on this map. I think it does. It's where, and then what are we doing to say that's where it should be, and this is where it shouldn't be.
Down to Bethany.
So again, some of those decisions are always going to fall back to county council to make. But does it make sense to be in the, not all of the yellow and the tan, but some of that? Does that make sense for some of that? And then we can put into the text kind of, okay, you should be close to this, 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 and this.
Yeah, Mr. Burton, I guess.
I think we can write that into the text.
The suitability analysis really kind of drove home where these future land use areas should go based on proximity to roadways available infrastructure, nearby destinations, all of those were factors to say if where development shouldn't go would be outside of those areas that have color for the most part. Even though it's permitted in the white, the areas that would be prioritized for future development would be in those areas that are falling within those suitable zones. So knowing that, then you can decide, all right, now as I move closer and closer to the towns, you know, I can provide some wiggle room in terms of the allowable densities. And then you can decide along the way within those future land use areas where those would be. But as the document's written right now, it's not providing you that flexibility or that wiggle room. You're pretty much getting the same thing everywhere. And it kind of negates the point of having these different land use classifications for the future.
I agree with that. I think that's a true statement, is that right now everything's equal and it comes down to really what the neighborhood, who's next to you and who did you hire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because if you're way out in the
boondocks,
there's a pretty good argument that says you're out of place, right? So you get the 2 units to the acre because nobody around you has developed. So in the areas of the colors, but without having the safeguards and the reasons for, then it's hard to make that.
And we can include in the text, as Janelle said, some language that says as part of the implementation phase, you know, we will consider ordinances that would, you know, maybe put some of those safeguards in place. You're getting some safeguards by default when you increase density because you're essentially reducing the number of impervious surface areas because you have fewer rooftops or less need for like longer driveways and parking, that kind of stuff. So there's certain things that already help the environment when you're clustering things a little closer to one another. And then you have fewer emissions because cars are traveling less distances, that kind of thing. There are benefits, but again, as you know, we were talking about earlier, that all happens in the implementation phase, and we can maybe put some language in here that talks about setting that up so that when you get there, you have something to point to that would help you write the language in the ordinance.
I do think that air quality and rainwater collection is great. That isn't what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I would say that there's got to be some trade-off to the increased density, right?
For open space, and, right,
et cetera. And I'm not counting stormwater management in that calculation, but that's
why you have all the other chapters in this plan, because the land use chapter is focusing on the future land use map and what could be allowable and permitted within certain areas. Then you have your conservation chapter and your mobility chapter and your community design chapter to help you figure out the assembly of all of that development in the right way. So okay. This provides you that kind of like basic framework, and then on top of that, you put those other, you know, constraints.
All right. Can you answer my other question? Is there any way to do, because I think that if the ordinances were in place, right, then it would make sense.
I mean, yeah, there's no reason why you can't start the ordinances beforehand, you know, but it's kind of jumbling it all up together, you know. I mean, we were talking about having the implementation discussion after the adoption. Now we'd be figuring out the order of implementation before we even know that the thing's been approved and adopted. You know, we're kind of, I don't know.
But you couldn't adopt it per or after.
Because we're on the timeline with the state, and then the governor approves it and it's adopted.
And just, you're concerned about the future. You could have an application come in today for 12 units to an acre, 4 units to an acre. You see them all the time, a conditional use with multifamily up to 8 or 9 units to an acre. And there are currently none of the ordinances in place to recognize what you currently are concerned about. So that it can happen today. Right, so how do we, so I think we've put some things to consider for ordinances in the implementation, but how do we match those two? How do we match this with some of the things that council's kind of discussed about implementation? And if we can put some other items, because, you know, if we're going to allow higher density in the coastal areas, which we kind of need to do because we need to recognize that I know there is HR zoning in this area right now. You know, if we're going to allow future HR zoning, okay, well, we want you to meet certain other environmental requirements as ordinances are adopted. That can potentially be done as well if you've got concerns or other things. We can write this to try to address the concerns.
So is the question that you're going to look at language for density in certain areas? Is that what you're being asked?
Right now the language says 2 units to an acre is what's permitted. We're thinking about expanding that for some of the future land use classifications, and then also stating, but only in areas that would be appropriate, and that would include the potential development of a future ordinance to enforce it. All of that would be built into the plan.
Mm-hmm. So how about we, if we get some type of agreement to look at changing the densities, we'll rework those sections and bring them back to you guys?
I would vote for that, but I have a question. So then you're assuming with that statement that these colors are going to relate to that. If the yellow shrinks, for example, then that would change what you're doing.
The verbiage and the color go together. That's how this, the colors go. This is where we want this verbiage to happen, and how this verbiage, the verbiage kind of goes, this is how we want those areas to grow up, what that looks like. So what is on the paper is more important than where that color is, and to a degree, because what is on the in the verbiage is how this is going to look like, what it's going to look like, and how it can look like.
But you're not looking to add any other colors along 24 that would so designate a higher density?
No, not us. That is up to council if you want to look at adding things. But again, John and his group did a suitability analysis, and this is what that came up with.
And what we're talking about, IG, is changing the text, not the
text.
Map.
The map.
That, clarifying the explanation about what that yellow means and what you can do there. We're not talking about changing the yellow or adding anything to the map.
Just how that yellow is going to develop, and that's all we're talking about. And that peach, how that peach is going to develop. Now, not if it's going to shrink or grow or go somewhere else. It's how is that peach and yellow and the pinks and the reds going to develop.
But we could change the map.
Yes, you have the ability to change where those colors go.
Based on the text.
Mm. No, the text drives.
The text supports the map.
The map.
Supports the map.
Yeah, we use the suitability analysis to identify the areas that would be the highest potential development, moderate high potential, medium development potential. And then once we color the map, we paint the map, we then decide, well, now that we see where those areas are, how do we want them to look? And then we write the text.
But you could shrink the colors just for grow into it.
We did fiddle around with the colors a lot during our meetings with staff. The colors are more land than you need for future population. You can put all of the future population just within the town center. You have plenty of available acreage and densities available in the town center for a whole 139,000 future residents that could come.
I don't want to live there.
Correct. So that's why you have your developing areas. That's why you also have your coastal areas. That's why you have your low density. It's all going to be worked out in its own way. But you can have some handle on how it forms.
So can I put a period at the end of this sentence? A lot to digest, and I didn't expect us to come up with an answer today, but we clearly have highlighted this. And there's other references to the word density in the document that we will bring to your attention.
There's definitely a connection with the densities and then the next paragraph, infrastructure.
Sure.
Somehow, I think it should be the same in the same paragraph, both those things.
I think George.
Because you can't get density without infrastructure, so there needs to be some kind of, I think, statement bringing those two things together.
I think George.
It does.
Yeah,
that line for infrastructure says,
okay,
if you don't have central water and sewer, you're only getting 2 units to an acre.
Right. So but it also
you max
implies
out.
That if you have sewer, you can get.
You can ask for up to that to okay. change, but you're not getting more. So do we want to keep going through? We're just going.
Well, my period would be when. So think about what we've talked about. We are going to come back to you with some recommendations, suggestions. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you to let this roll around in your head. But also, if you have questions, which a certain council member seems to have questions when we leave here, if you do have certain questions, by all means, reach out to staff, reach out to planners, and talk about this, because this is the whole crux of this chapter, which then unfolds into all the other chapters. As written today, there is no differentiation between those three colors. If that's the way we want it, then we won't make any changes. I don't expect that to be the end result. Okay?
Well, I mean, what's the worst? If it is all the same color, I ask, what's so bad about that? What's so bad about that? And again,
people aren't happy with the way things have been going. I think that's a known fact.
No, it's the changes we've made.
What changes have we made?
Everything in the yellow. Everything.
No, we haven't. This is proposed. This is not today.
It's the changes zones where we've upzoned. You talk to anybody, it's always their concern is why we keep upzoning. Why are we upzoning in the areas that have already got problems? That's where we're getting the complaints. Not from somebody going in and buying somebody 2 units to the acre and developing it at 2 units to the acre. Most people see that as being reasonable development. But as you got out, we've gone beyond these towns. We're out in the country now. And it's just, you're just taking the countryside and overwhelming it with more density, and it's not the answer.
All right.
I hear most of George is too much traffic. Can't
so
get on the highway.
If we're good, we can move on to page 16.
Yes.
Todd, can you put an exclamation point on this sentence?
Are we done?
Question mark.
We're not. I don't know. Like, if you want to go to next steps or what? Because we're
winding down.
Yeah, we can keep going. So,
I could get through this page really quick.
Okay.
This one just kind of further explains what we already discussed about the existing development areas. It's existing existing zoning surrounded by low density that we discussed about an hour and 40 minutes ago. Yes.
Can I just go back to the one thing? Mm-hmm. That does mention, the last one mentions bonus density. Are we going to talk about that? Paying in. We just kind of brushed by it.
I think we can still leave that in if that was still, that did come out of Planning Commission and County Council to discuss it. We can leave that in there, but the way it's written right now is the only way you upzone is if you do bonus density, which there's some concern with.
So we're just going to lay that down until we have another hour conversation about that?
Yeah, because we still want to encourage bonus density, if so, because, but again, the council wanted to take a look at that section of code that was multiple different areas. So we'll look into that one. The commercial uses we highlighted at the bottom of page 16 is, again, it's commercial areas. So we wanted to look at, in certain areas, you know, large-scale developments, you know, should be located in certain areas, not in every location do they make sense. They should be near, like, a major intersection or along a main road, so they are not located, like, you're not getting 230 acres of commercial on a secondary road. I'm going to guess that doesn't make sense. But a
B1... Definition of large as well.
We haven't defined that.
Are we going to?
If you would like us to, we can.
But remember, this is a
broad picture.
You know, we're not dealing down or driving or drilling down into individual definitions of things in here. That's what the ordinance is for. I mean, we have the large-scale use for commercial now in our zoning code, which triggers all sorts of additional parking requirements, things like that. So we do have some definitions.
But we don't have it on residential.
What's no?
No.
Yeah. So this one, I think either, this was Mr. Cole's question earlier, this is just saying why we've included ag preservation districts in the plan. Janelle, we're on that one.
Yeah.
And it's just a sentence that says, for the purposes of our analysis, these areas are not considered as a developable land as the county's 2045 vision should direct development toward those areas most suitable for future development, such as developing areas, town centers, coastal areas, and municipalities.
What page is that?
Page 19.
19, top of 19. 19.
I was still on 16. Okay, 19.
Actually covers a couple of Mr. Cole's ideas. Directing development towards developing areas, and how do we treat ag preservation districts? Anyway, it's just sort of an explanation about the, you know, how we highlighted that as being protected. So the next one, I think, this just highlights that we eliminated the environmentally sensitive development area land use classification, but the next line also goes in conjunction with that, which shows we created the coastal area land use classification to address development pressures and unique environmental characteristics of the area. That was, that renaming recall, that was sort of in relation particularly to everybody's concern about the term environmentally sensitive joined with the term developing area, that it was sort of a an unworkable title. So that's why council came up with the name coastal area land use. The next one is we eliminated the mixed residential area land use classification. That also goes hand in hand with the next one, which is created the existing development area land use classification. Again, that's the one where we have GR, you know, or B1 or C1, whatever, spread throughout the county, surrounded by low density areas. So we just wanted to bring that.
That's the pre-existing.
Yes, pre-existing. And we have a line in there that says that this is not intended to be an indication of future rezonings in this area. It just designates pre-existing zonings. I don't think we highlighted it, but that's in
we
there.
We did, and I just kind of ran through it.
Okay. And I don't remember this one, why it was highlighted off the top of my head. Expansion of existing industrial areas at certain locations to encourage more industrial development and the creation of new industrial areas at areas with industrial development potential. I know the commission went and looked to expand those areas.
And that's something John and I need to double check to make sure that we didn't lose those expansion of industrial areas from Planning Commission to the current future land use map. Because I think council is interested in expanding the certain industrial areas in certain locations.
Yeah. So again, that goes hand in hand with the economic development element.
That's on a request from an owner.
Now, we were looking at so that, you know, if it's an area that there's at a major intersection, say, and well, let me back up. If it's an area where there's existing industrial zoning, And industrial uses, was there an opportunity to expand because of what's around it? You know, in other words, there wasn't residential uses around it. Maybe there was good infrastructure like natural gas, or maybe although it was zoned commercial, they were more intensive commercial unit uses. The reason being so that if somebody came in who wanted to do an industrial application of some sort, they knew that the plan said, here's a spot where that's appropriate, I'm going to have a better likelihood of getting it rezoned down the line.
Why can't we apply the same concept to developing areas? Say, there's a good spot for density right there.
That's pretty much what we did with the suitability analysis. Exact
that's
same thing.
A whole big area.
Because that's a whole lot of people moving here. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that was based on all
It's where it could go within that certain area. It doesn't all have to go there.
Yeah.
It's just providing
same thing,
you.
Right. That's the exact same analysis. Yeah.
But if you're going to designate that area purple, the area outside of it's not purple, right?
Correct. And industrial, I think, is and commercial are both a little unique because there's only certain areas that you want to do certain types of development, like industrial and like commercial. And so you're putting them in spots where you know that you're not going to create a conflict. Where residential and mixed residential and mixed use and all that kind of stuff, you have a little more flexibility in terms of how that land develops and where it goes.
I mean, I made the argument at the Planning and Zoning Commission that we probably underdid the classifications for industrial just so that, you know, we would have more available so that businesses could locate here if they wanted to, but whatever. So the next one is, this is one we added, and it's just a statement that says, each land use proposal the county receives should be reviewed on its own merit to determine if the proposal is consistent with the future land use map and does not have a negative impact on the surrounding area or the county in general. That's sort of a broad statement. And a lot of times that gets lost in presentations. People come in and will say, applicants or their representatives will say, well, I'm in a developing area, therefore I must be rezoned to HR. And because you're comp plan says so, whereas in reality our comp plan says that AR1's just as appropriate as HR. It doesn't favor one over the other, so you've got to look at the totality of the circumstances.
But I think along with that, I mean, one could say that that anything that's approved or an upzone beyond AR1, quote unquote, could be a negative impact, right? I've heard those comments.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly hear them.
Right. And so, and that's the reason why you shouldn't approve because of that. I mean, that's negative as a boy. There's a big.
Yeah, no, I understand. I'll put that's a very big question mark in my.
That's a big question mark, literally, as far as the interpretation. I mean,
and it's not that it's a negative, as I'm reading it and hearing what you're saying. It's more you need to look beyond the future land use maps, what we're trying to say. You know, that's not the end-all be-all for it. You know, but I do understand.
You have to look at the surrounding uses, surrounding what's going on in that area.
Right. No, but I'll make a note.
And any change is negative for some people.
Perceived that way.
Right?
That's right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So the next one, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the public comment. And Mr. Lawson, I know, worked on the rephrasing particularly of 4.6.1 and 4.6.2, so I don't know.
Yeah, the original draft of this section, 4.6.1 and 4.6.2, 4.6.1 being well-planned growth and 4.6.2, supportive agriculture land use. This was all individually flagged by all three staff members, and when we got together collectively, we shared our thoughts. We didn't really like the content as written, so we rewrote it, and that's why it's not redlined and it's all highlighted. And I would encourage you to flag this page, and when you get home and have a moment, read these paragraphs to make sure that you agree with what is said here. And I will say that the original draft coming through here was very heavy on incentivizing and promotion of private sector activity vis-a-vis the creation of certain new initiatives such as improved buffers, but incentivizing those through certain efforts. So we didn't like that, the way that it was drafted. So we took an attempt and wrote this in a different manner. And it really flows better, in my opinion, with the rest of the plan than as it was previously written.
Yeah, I actually had the statement in there when we read it. It's the first sentence of what was in there before. It says, although the future land use plan of the county zoning and subdivision and land development regulations create the framework for land use, most development decisions are made by the private sector. Which, when you read that, sounds like, you know, that the private sector is the one that's got the say on what gets approved or not, when we know that that's the county. I know what the intention was, I think, which was the county establishes the framework and then the private sector works within that framework, but it just wasn't worded very well. The other point I would like to make, because it did come up this morning and I want to reiterate it again, on the agribusiness and the supporting agricultural land use and agricultural land preservation, what we did on that one, I don't think we really changed the substance of it. That was more of a wordsmithing, kind of paring it down. I mean, it very much still supports agricultural uses, and it still highlights that an important way to maintain and preserve agriculture in Sussex County is through the promotion of agribusiness uses and where they should be and how that could be implemented. So really the main difference plan-wide on that, and this is what I tried to explain to Mr. Baxter, was the map was eliminated, but all the information that tees up those areas down the line in an ordinance is still in here. Because I was concerned that they had a misunderstanding about that it had been gutted from here, and that's not the case.
I would just suggest, I think, again, on that agribusiness message, I don't think any of us oppose it, but how you're going to make it agribusiness uses be permitted in an AR1 district is tough for me to comprehend. It's a residential district. And as I asked Mr. Baxter, which takes priority, ag or residential? And all of a sudden with this agribusiness use in the AR district, we've taken a side. We've said, okay, ag is more important than residential, the residential component. I don't think that's right.
So. Oh, he said both. Did he not?
What's that? What?
I mean, that's what he said.
Both were the same. Both were important, if I recall, was his answer.
No,
but I think in the writing, it favors ag, is what George is saying.
Exactly what I just said.
Forgive
right.
me. I thought you were his answer.
No. You know, he said, I know what he said, but I asked him about the AR1. What I'm saying, he liked AB. He wanted to see AB. My suggestion is AB, we ought to talk a zoning district called AB. Somebody comes in for rezoning called AB, and here's what you're allowed to do. It has to be in an AR1 district, but it can be this type of agribusiness. But it can't be in a residential neighborhood. I mean, it just
you have all this
incompatible.
Pardon? Yes. You have all this recorded? I want to go back and hear that over again.
You can go watch it all over again, too.
Because I didn't hear that answer.
We've got it.
I didn't hear that kind of answer.
All right, so that's, again, on that issue, I think it's totally wrong.
In here.
Not even close
yes.
to being appropriate.
So do you want to move into next steps? Because most of the comments in the goals were highlighting the word incentive.
Yeah.
6 minutes.
Probably. I would encourage you again today, you're seeing this for the first time, go through the goals, objectives, strategies. There are just highlights of, say, concerns, which we can go through at a future meeting. You'll see the word incentive peppered throughout the goals, objectives, strategies, which we thought was...
If they're coming like you say they are, guys, they're just beating a path through our door. We don't even need to give them any incentives. God. Right, Mr.
Exactly
Incentive?
Right.
Right?
I didn't say anything about incentives.
No, it's all through here. I'm just saying we ought to be very careful again about incentives.
We knew by highlighting incentive, we at least followed two goals, the Cole goal and the Wilson goal of reduction and no incentivizing. So.
Oh, God. Me and Sam.
What's our next steps?
Next steps. So... On mobility as well as future land use, you've been given a fairly detailed review of each chapter. We're circling June the 6th, Wednesday, June the 6th, for our meeting to finalize final draft of these chapters and any other chapter that is in front of you in this book that you feel needs to be reviewed and discussed.
So our next meeting is going to be pretty much review of right. these two chapters and all chapters, right?
Correct.
A book.
So I
a
would, book. Yeah, the book. I would strongly suggest, I will plead with council members, please take these books home with you. Don't leave them in your office. And over the next 2 weeks, come back on June the 6th, and you should have a legal pad or something with your questions on there. So we're not going to spend 2 days talking about one subject. We're going to get to questions, we're going to answer, we're going to move forward.
And
decisions. So be ready to do that. Pardon me?
Is that what we did today? We made
some. No, we didn't. We're going to try to improve on that process. Come June the 6th.
And we will get you an updated mobility chapter, and we'll make those tweaks to the future land use for those land use classifications, and we'll send those out.
And if you would, I would ask this question. When you got all the stuff you're going to talk about, the tweaking and the new chapter and all that, get that done sooner versus later.
Absolutely.
And have those.
We'll switch
in
out.
Form. And
excellent.
Deliver them to everybody's house, because no one's going to be able to, because we're off next week.
Yep.
So don't put them in somebody's office. You won't even see them until June the 5th.
Correct.
But everybody, please, please, please read through this book in the next 2 weeks and make your questions, comments, concerns, and we can talk about all those starting on June the 6th, and we'll see how far we get that day. If today's indication, we're going to be here quite a while. But we will prevail.
Todd, the counter says that the next one is over at 3:30 versus 3. Just you might want to double check with Robin.
I'm sure it'll be 9:30 to 3.
Oh, I'm just
it'll be 9:30 to 3
in the iCalendar.
Yeah, I don't like that, but it'll be 9:30 to 3.
I think she generally just puts that on your calendar, so you have a hold.
Yeah,
that I would maybe suggest if we have the energy, because that may be it, right? That June 6th may be the final. And we're anticipating, let's say we have some tweaks on the 6th, we'll pick a Tuesday council meeting, put it on an agenda, and say, on the 6th we talked about this, here's what we've done, is that okay? Yes. We are sending this to Dover. Are you okay with that?
I really like your optimism. I really like your optimism.
So we send it to Dover, and then we have. When's the public hearing?
It goes to Dover to.
It'll go to through Plus, and it'll go through the Cabinet Committee. Once we get those comments back, then we'll hold.
We make any changes we choose to on their suggestions.
We're going to have a meeting before we send it out to the public hearing.
We can meet to discuss any comments that we get back, and then we'll hold a public hearing, and then.
Public hearing, then we adopt the final version, and that goes to the governor.
And there could be changes after the public hearing.
Yeah, sure.
Right. We don't want to send a message that...
That's why we're having the public hearing.
Yeah. Everybody okay? Don't forget, June 6th, 9:30, come back with this book and a lot of questions. If you got any questions...
D-Day.
If you have no questions, just say, I'm fine. Move on.
Oh, my God, is it D-Day?
June 6th is an empty day.
We're done. Thank you.
It is.
June 6th is D-Day. That's how you go.